Welcome to Good News on Catholic Spirit Radio, a program for teens and almost teens to better understand that the gospel of Jesus Christ is relevant in their lives. And it's a place where your questions about faith and religion can be answered. And now, here's your host, Deacon Al.
Thank you, John, and welcome everyone to Good News. I'm Deacon Al. I'm a permanent deacon here in the Peoria Diocese, serving parishes in the Bloomington Normal area, and very fortunate to be able to speak with you on Catholic Spirit Radio, 92.5, 89.5. What else, John? We have all kinds of frequencies out there, don't we?
Oh, yeah.
We're all over the place. Find out where we are. An easy way is to go to our website at CatholicSpiritRadio.org, and you can read about the history of the station, and you can get all kinds of information. And there's some great things there for you. Community calendars, you can see what's going on in the Catholic community in your neighborhoods. You can also take advantage of our prayers. We have, you can put in your prayer intentions, and the staff here at Catholic Spirit Radio would be more than happy to pray for you each day. So we hope you'll be a part of our Catholic Spirit Radio community by visiting our website. You'll find all sorts of neat features there, like our blogs, and there's simulcasts of EWTN. There's all kinds of things going on. So we hope you'll look into that. One of the other things you can do at Catholic Spirit Radio is to send questions in to Good News at our email at goodnews@catholicspiritradio.org. And we would be happy to answer your questions on air. I brought a couple questions with me today from our newly formed teen group at Holy Trinity and Historic St. Patrick's Churches. The teens have included in their program sort of a Stump the Deacon section where they can write down questions that we will answer from time to time. And I'm going to bring a few of them here to the radio station as well and include them in this program. But we would love to hear from you. What are your questions about your Catholic faith or faith in general? We'd be happy to discuss them here. So again, that's goodnews@catholicspiritradio.org. Later on in the program, we're going to be looking at the readings from this weekend and talking about what they mean, especially what they mean in the life of a teenager. And then we're going to end with a prayer for Labor Day. This is Labor Day weekend, and we have a special blessing for all those who help support our communities through their valuable labor. I wanted to share something with you. I was out in my garden. It's that time of year. It's so beautiful out, not too hot, not too rainy, not too cold, and time to do a lot of gardening, not only with the plants that are blooming now, and there's still a few, but mostly getting ready for next year's blooms, next year's growth. And it occurred to me just how much I enjoy gardening and farming and fishing and carpentry. There's a lot of good labor found in the New Testament, a lot of good hands-on, get your hands dirty, get in there and work. Even Paul was a tent maker. And we've got fishermen and carpenters all through the New Testament especially. And I think that's really important. And I think that's something that a lot of people have been drawn away from because of the allure of technology. We've stopped getting our hands dirty. We've stopped learning how to work with our hands. Big fan of Micro and Dirty Jobs and his support of laborers. Technology has just gotten so easy. You sit and play a game for an hour, though. And what have you actually accomplished? I went out and worked in my yard for an hour. I got all kinds of things done. Good solid work and things that are in preparation for great harvests, great things to come in the spring, beautiful flowers and plants and trees and bushes. And did all that in just an hour. But had I spent that hour playing a video game, don't really accomplish anything. And so many young people spend so much time on the computer. Social media, again, doesn't accomplish a thing. Video games, they don't accomplish a thing other than make you feel good. And there's more to life than just this artificial feel good. And again, nothing against technology in general. I'm a techno freak. I love neat new gimmicks. Some of them are very handy in our lives. My mother, thank goodness, is still with us, but she's about to turn 91, still has her own apartment, But one of the things that lets her stay in her apartment is technology. You know, she can get up in the morning and she can turn the lights on in her house so that she can get up and get around safely because she wakes up very early in the morning. And she can do that just by talking to her apartment. And it responds to her and it turns on lights and it can even start her television up and have everything ready for her in the morning, which is great. I mean, that actually helps the quality of her life. But if all she did was that, that wouldn't be much going on in her life, nothing much productive. She does other things and you wonder, well, what can a 91-year-old do? Among other things, she prays, and that's work. I mean, that accomplishes something. God listens to prayers, and God answers prayers. And she prays for her children and their families. She prays for the community. She prays a lot for our country because things are really wacky right now in our country. And thank goodness we have people like my mother and all the wonderful women in religious orders who spend so much of their day in prayer to support us because we're busy playing games and doing other things and forgetting about the spiritual side and the spiritual food that we need to stay strong. And so fortunately, there are people in the world who do that as their vocation, as their work. So I just want to remind young people, get out and do something. You know, learn a trade, do some woodworking. My son works on motors, engines. He's amazing, I find it amazing is because I know nothing about car engines. Absolutely not. If my car didn't work, it's either out of gas or the wheel covers are too tight. It's one of the two because I know nothing else about cars. And my son has actually, you know, taken engines apart, rebuilt them, put them back together, put them back in. How he came up with that skill is a mystery to me, but it has led to such an important part of his life to have that labor feeding him, feeding his family, and being productive in his community. I've seen him help his friends through this skill as well as his customers. So I guess I'm saying there's this Labor Day, it's important to think about what do you actually produce? What do you do besides, you know, are you only on social media? Are you only playing games? Or are you using a skill to improve the life in your community, the life in your country, the life in your household? That's really what you need to look at this Labor Day weekend. It's so important to be productive and to have a productive life. And you're not going to find that on social media or in a game or watching TV all day long or watching movies all day long. So get out and become somebody. Don't just be a tool for the internet guys, you know, the Facebook people and all the social media people. Don't just be part of a tool for their wealth. Get out and produce. Okay, off my soapbox. We'll come back after these messages and we'll talk about this weekend's readings.
Stay tuned. Good news will be right back on Catholic Spirit Radio.
It's time to mark your calendar for Monday, September 13th, and join your friends at the Monsignor Greg Ketchum Memorial Golf Outing to be held at Crestwick Country Club in Bloomington. It's sure to be a great day of golf, food, contests, golf, fellowship prizes, and did I mention golf? Your entry fee includes green fees, golf cart, lunch, dinner, mulligans, side games, and much, much more. Sponsored by the Knights of Columbus Council 15175, it's open to men and women. Check-in is at 11 a.m. with the shotgun start at noon and will be a four-person best position contest. For event details, visit our website at kfc15175.org. kfc15175.org or call 309-825-9720. That's 309-825-9720.
Has your health or the health of a loved one been your main concern these days? Have you felt, no matter how good the medical care received, there might be something missing? You're not alone. Our Lady of Good Health is praying for you and your loved ones. The more trustingly you approach her, the more you'll experience God's love, embracing and empowering you through life's hills and valleys. Come, join us to celebrate the Feast of Our Lady of Good Health on Saturday, September 11th at 10 a.m. This free event will take place at St. Patrick Church of Myrna in East Bloomington. The celebration includes Holy Mass, a Eucharistic Marian procession, and the blessing of the sick. Plus, an Indian luncheon will be served. Come pray for the gift of good health at the feast day celebration of Our Lady of Good Health. For further details, visit stpatrickmyrna.org or their parish Facebook page. Our Lady of Good Health, pray for us.
And welcome back to Good News. This is Deacon Al. At this part of the program, we're going to talk about our readings from this Sunday's Mass. We're going to go through all three, a reading from the Old Testament, a reading from the book of St. James, and then we'll be looking at the Gospel of Mark. And I want you to listen closely to these because there's a theme running through most of these readings, most of what we're going to hear, that might surprise you because it's not real obvious as to what it's talking about. And it's not real obvious about how it speaks to us today in our lives, but it's a really important message, and there's a lot of symbolism in this that you need to listen to see what they're actually talking about. So our first reading is from the prophet Isaiah. Thus says the Lord, say to those whose hearts are frightened, be strong, fear not. Here is your God. He comes with vindication, with divine recompense. He comes to save you. Then will the eyes of the blind be opened, the ears of the deaf will be cleared. Then will the lame leap like a stag. Then the tongue of the mute will sing. Streams will burst forth in the desert, and rivers in the steppe. The burning sands will become pools, and the thirsty ground springs of water. The word of the Lord. So think about some of those images as we go through these other readings. Isaiah talks about God coming to you, opening eyes of the blind, opening the ears of the deaf, helping the lame to walk. Then it talks about streams and rivers and springs of water. So what does that make you think of in your faith? Our next reading is from James, and I love James. If you're having trouble reading the scriptures, and granted, some of the scriptures are very difficult to read. Paul is great. Paul's my confirmation name. I chose Paul because he meant so much to me as a young person. But he's hard to read. His story is easy to understand. But his actual letters are hard to read unless you're really good with commas. Paul is the king of commas. And some of his lines are extremely long. And unless you actually sit there and go comma by comma, he's kind of hard to understand. But James is very clear. Everything James says is very forthright. He doesn't rely on a lot of imagery. He's a very, very concrete guy. This is what we teach. This is what we believe. This is what you need to know. And so as you listen to this letter from James, he really doesn't hold anything back in any of his writings. So this is very easy to understand. James writes, my brothers and sisters, show no partiality as you adhere to the faith in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ. If a man with gold rings and fine clothes comes into your assembly, and a poor person in shabby clothes also comes in, and you pay attention to the one wearing the fine clothes and say, sit here, please, while you say to the poor one, stand over there or sit at my feet, have you not made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil designs? Listen, my beloved brothers and sisters, did not God choose those who are poor in the world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom that he promised to those who loved him? So James teaches us a very important lesson here, and one that I see played out frequently in one version in the Mass at the churches where I serve. We're downtown, and we often have people who are homeless, people who have difficulty with various addictions, who are out on the streets, who have no shelter or very limited shelter, and yet they come to Mass. And I think that's beautiful. And I think it's important to know that we don't treat them any differently than any of our other parishioners. They are members of our community. They're members of our faith community. And we don't ask them to stand out of the way or stay off to the side or sit away from anybody. They participate in the Mass just the same as anyone because they are important people. They are as important as the richest member, as important as anyone in our congregation. And you don't have to be without any money in order to be poor. Part of what James is talking about is the spiritually poor as well. And that means someone who doesn't put a lot of emphasis on their money or who use the money more for charitable acts than they do for their own self-grandizing. You know, if you see some, it's real easy. I know a lot of people in the community, a lot of great business leaders in the community who do a tremendous amount of work for charitable organizations and for people in need in this community. And these are not people who, even though they own businesses and very successful businesses, these are not people who drive fancy cars. They're not people who dress in expensive suits or make a big deal out of themselves. They're just really nice, modest people. And that's what Christ is calling us to, is to not to flaunt wealth, but to use wealth for the benefits of the community that it can be used for. And don't just assume that you're better than someone because you dress better than them, or you drive a nicer car than them, or you might live in a better house than them, or go to a better school than they go to. Don't look down on people at work who don't dress as well as you, or students who maybe don't live in an exclusive neighborhood. That doesn't mean that they are any less God's children or any less valuable in the eyes of Christ. And in fact, when you look down on them, as James says, you now make yourself a God. You put yourself in competition with God, who's the only real judge. I mean, who are we to stand in the judgment of others? So be very careful in how you view others who dress differently than you, speak differently than you, act differently than you. It's a very dangerous road to go down, and it's a very dangerous habit to form. And so James is warning us against that. Okay, let's look at the gospel now. And as we read the gospel, think back to Isaiah. Isaiah talked about how at some point in time, and he didn't say when this would happen, that here is your God. He comes with vindication. He comes to save you. Then will the eyes of the blind be open, and the ears of the deaf be cleared, and the lame leap like a stag. So keep the prophet's words in mind as we listen to the Gospels, because the Gospels are the fulfillment of the Old Testament. So our Gospel this weekend is from Mark, and he says, "Again, Jesus left the district of Tyre and went by the way of Sidon to the Sea of Galilee, into the district of Decapolis. And people brought to him a deaf man who had a speech impediment, and begged him to lay his hand on him. He took him off by himself away from the crowd. He put his finger into the man's ears, and spitting, touched his tongue. Then he looked up to heaven and groaned and said to him, 'Ephphatha,' that is, 'be opened.' And immediately the man's ears were opened, his speech impediment was removed, and he spoke plainly. He ordered them not to tell anyone, but the more he ordered them not to, the more they proclaimed it. They were exceedingly astonished, and they said, 'He has done all things well. He makes the deaf hear and the mute speak.'" The Gospel of the Lord. Do you see the joining of the old to the new, the Old Testament prophecy from Isaiah and other prophets prophesies the same thing about when the Messiah comes, the deaf will hear, the mute will speak, the lame will walk. And we see that healing all through Jesus's ministry. But what's really important to understand is the symbolism of that healing. He's healing them of their personal sins. The being able to speak the glory of God, hear the gospel, hear the glory of God. to be able to walk in God's footsteps, in Christ's footsteps. So what we see in all these healings is really, it's scripture telling us that Jesus came to heal us, no matter how badly we feel that we've been infirmed, no matter what our ailment, whether it's spiritual or physical, that Christ came to bring healing to that. And how does he do it? Well, again, we're going to go back to the first reading to Isaiah and listen to what he talks about. Streams will burst forth in the desert, rivers in the steppe. The sands will become pools, and springs of water will burst from thirsty ground. All these water images. He's talking about baptism. That whole reading is talking about Christ is coming to us through baptism. And we so often forget about the graces that we received during our baptism. Most of us were very young when it happened. I mean, I was like 6 weeks old when I got baptized, so I remember none of it. But my faith reminds me that at that moment, my life changed. I was a new person. And no matter what age you're baptized in or what Christian faith you're baptized in, you come out of that a new person, connected in a very special way to God through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit that takes place during that baptism. And think about what you wear. And this goes back to James. What do you wear during your baptism, no matter what age? A white gown. Not a lot of jewelry. We don't adorn you with rings and tiaras, things of that sort. You come in a simple white gown. You come modestly and impoverished to Christ. And that's how Christ comes to us in that modesty, in that poorness. Really, we're showing that we need nothing else in our lives. We don't need the riches, and we don't need the fancy clothes, and we don't need the jewelry. All we need is Christ, and we represent that through the humble way that we come to him in baptism, and the humble way that he enters into us with something as simple as water, just something as basic and simple as water. A lot of people, I always love talking to pseudoscientists, young people and old people who think that they can show that science disproves God. And that's a real tough road to hoe. That's like saying, I have a bicycle that can disprove fish. You know, it's the wrong tool, guys. You can't use something that can only measure the natural to prove or disprove the supernatural. You can't do it. Science is a study based on observation and measurement. So how do you use it on something you can't see and you can't measure? It's simply the wrong tool. God can be reasoned, and God can be found in experience, and God can be found in trust, but you're not going to be able to hold up a scale and measure him, or hold up a ruler and measure him, or run an experiment to see if he's there. That's not how God comes to us. He comes to us very simply through water. Now, you ask a scientist, or someone who claims that science is greater than religion, and say, okay, where did life on earth come from? And what will they tell you? Water. Life came from water. And that's all the Christian faith is teaching too. Life comes from water. The difference is science is telling us where the physical life comes from. We have no problem with that. We have no disagreement in that. But our faith is telling us where our spiritual life comes from. And they both come from water. And I think that's something that we need to really look at and rejoice in. I think that's wonderful. There was a scientist and a mathematician, and I'm going to forget his name. But he said that if you look at a glass of water, if you just look at a glass of water, you can see that science outweighs religion, that science is greater than God. But by the time you drink down to the bottom of the glass, at the bottom of the glass, you discover God, the source of the water. So it's not like one disproves the other or one is designed to disprove the other. One talks about the creator and the other investigates the created. So don't let a science teacher, professor, try and sell you on scientism that says that we can prove, we can disprove God through science. That's not what science does. And don't listen to someone who says who tells you that religion disproves science, because it doesn't. They do different things in our lives. Both are very effective tools for what they do and for what they are. And don't try and make them into something that they aren't. So we see water being used in both our first reading and in our gospel. You say, where was water used in the gospel? How did that help in bringing life to this to the person Jesus met? Well, he used spit, which is just water. He spit on the man's tongue, and that sharing of life from Christ to the man brought him healing. That's what that story is trying to tell us. Again, we're just looking at the simplicity of water being used to bring us from death into life. And we see that throughout the Old Testament as well as in the New Testament. Think about it. We see baptism from the very beginning of the Old Testament. It's in Genesis. Genesis makes a point to talk about a river that flows through the Garden of Eden. And that river feeds the tree of life. We see in Exodus, we see the parting of the Red Sea so that the tribes of Israel can escape death into a new life on their way to the Promised Land. Even before that, we see Moses, as Pharaoh is killing off all the Israeli children, Moses escapes by being put into the river in an ark. How about that? And he gains new life through death from water. We see this over and over through the Old Testament. We see this foretelling of baptism. So whenever you're feeling poor, abused, when you feel low, when you feel that your infirmities, whether they be physical or spiritual, are getting the best of you, go back to these readings and realize that Christ has the ability to, Christ came and is always with us to free us from these infirmities. And we can call on the grace we received from baptism, even if we don't remember it. We know of the graces received through baptism, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, that God is with us personally. And we can call on those graces to give us the strength we need to get through the difficult times, whether it's a difficult time with your family, in a relationship, maybe with a sibling, maybe with a schoolmate, maybe with somebody at work. Whatever the problem you have God within you through the graces of your baptism. Use that. That's there for you. That's a gift that's waiting for you to open. And you do that through prayer and through quiet time. And I find my quiet time, we're going to go full circle here, I find my quiet time back in the garden, you know, working with my hands quietly among God's creations. That's where I hear God's voice most often. That's where he talks to me and helps me through my infirmities and through the Mass. So invite you to draw on those graces. We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, going to offer a prayer for all you who work or even who did work and are now retired through a special prayer for this Labor Day celebration. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned. Good news will be right back on Catholic Spirit Radio.
You've heard of Dr. Ray Guarendi, famed psychologist, charming speaker, author, father of 10, and funny as can be. He's the host of the radio show The Doctor Is In and the TV program Living Right with Dr. Ray. We are thrilled to announce that he's coming to Bloomington. It's an evening that you won't want to miss. Thursday, October 7th, the social hour begins at 5. There's a cash bar and silent auction, followed by a buffet and Dr. Ray's keynote presentation, Standing Strong as a Parent and Grandparent. This spot on Catholic Psychologist doesn't pull any punches. You'll laugh, you'll cry, you'll learn, you'll enjoy. This charity event at Eastland Suites in Bloomington benefits Catholic Spirit Radio. Check out all the details at CatholicSpiritRadio.com and then make your reservations no later than September 27th. You might even choose to sit at Dr. Ray's table. For questions, call Carolyn, 309-830-4164.
Welcome back to Good News. We want to close this weekend's program with a special prayer for Labor Day. Everyone here at Catholic Spirit Radio would like to recognize and commend all those who, through their hard labors, support this community. On this weekend, when we rest from our usual labors, loving Father, we pray for all who shoulder the tasks of human labor in the marketplace, in the factories and offices, in the professions, and in family living. We thank you, Lord, for the gift and opportunity of work. May our efforts always be pure of heart, for the good of others and the glory of your name. We lift up to you all who long for just employment, those who work to defend the rights and needs of workers everywhere. May those of us who are now retired always remember that we still make a valuable contribution to our church and to our world by our prayers and our deeds of charity. May our working and our resting all give praise to you until the day we share together in eternal rest with all our departed in your kingdom, as you live and reign, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, God forever and ever. Amen. Thank you for listening to today's program on Good News. We look forward to speaking with you again. Until then, may Almighty God bless you, protect you from all evil, and bring you to everlasting life.
You've been listening to Good News on Catholic Spirit Radio, a program for teens and almost teens to better understand that the gospel of Jesus Christ is relevant in your life. Submit your questions to Deacon Al at goodnews@catholicspiritradio.com. That's goodnews@catholicspiritradio.com. Deacon will answer your questions about faith and religion. Thank you for listening to Good News on Catholic Spirit Radio.